of overwhelming instability, where kind of thinking seems almost kind of luxury, or actually maybe less than a luxury and a handicap, and where the kind of idea is kind of to merge attractive features as seamlessly as possible, such as kind of this proposal, for instance, for somewhere in Asia, it could be anywhere, but where again the kind of the attempt has been to just merge Photoshop and make it new, make it happen, and it happens. Infrastructure, I already talked about infrastructure, which we're mutually reinforcing and totalizing, are becoming more and more competitive and local. They no longer pretend to create functioning holes, but now spin off functional entities. Instead of network and organism, the new infrastructure creates enclave and impasse, no longer the grand récit, the big story, but the parasitic swerve. And this is, I think, a critical thing when we deal with infrastructure. Here, I won't talk about it. And asymmetry, another reinvented word, which I think plays a big role, not in architecture, but maybe now in planning. All phenomena that restore, maintain, or intensify the inequalities that define the cities of exacerbated difference. And inequality, you know, we always thought that the deepest core of our profession was about creating quality and spreading quality equally. I think there is now a condition where inequality becomes part of the repertoire, at least, and has to be assumed and theorized in terms of, you know, our own future, I think, whether we want it or not. Tabula rasa, I already spoke about. But maybe the most interesting and the most far-ranging of all the transformations is given here. I already mentioned that the opposition that has been a classical opposition in our consciousness between city and countryside is being undone in front of our very eyes, that the two are blurring, merging. Every time the mountain, the habitation, and the agriculture, but the agriculture changing. So here again, mountains in the distance, now rice fields directly confronting skyscrapers, and kind of finally, what we think this announces is a new concept, which is not called landscape, not called cityscape, but simply scape. And scape, we would define as kind of neither city nor landscape. It's the new post-urban condition. It will, and what it means is that kind of basically everything which is not built, which is kind of residual, which is the two-dimensional medium that keeps everything together, that has conditions of landscape, condition of kind of public space, conditions of urban activity, such as the golf course, condition of publicness, such as the theme park, all combined in a kind of single seamless condition, which is now really the essence of the urban condition, much more than our traditional elements as streets and plazas. And I think it really is critical to theorize also that transformation. And then I want to end with this image, which we've called kind of the bastard metropolis. Wholeness, perfection, conceptual wholeness, perfection can only be achieved at the expense of editing, control. The bastard metropolis does not even aspire to such status. Its vitality is guaranteed by the systematic exploitation of its imperfections. And I think this image can be read on a number of ways. First of all, it's no coincidence that the first image that I showed is very similar to the last image that I'm showing, although the first one was, of course, in Paris, and the last one is in China. It shows that the phenomena are not contained to Asia, and that we are actually confronting the same phenomena in a real way. When I speak about consolation, it is an attempt to suggest that one of the important things we should abandon is our despair. Our despair when confronted with La Défense, the first image, our instinct to reject it for kind of aesthetic reasons, for historical reasons, for out of a kind of indignation for its mediocrity. I think that in this image, at least for me, the bastard metropolis begins to have some qualities, although they may not be the classical qualities of the urban condition. I think as we have defined them in terms of their coherence, I think that nevertheless the coexistence of so many elements, the presence of nature, landscape sections into the heart of the city, and the entire thing as a kind of incredibly energetic, inhabited spectacle that does not need incredibly artificial rules and regulations to be inhabited with energy and conviction, is one of the constellations or one of the kind of control models that I think remains important when we think about the European city or when we think about the city as a whole. Thank you. Could kind of just use toll so that you can go free from Hong Kong to Zhuhai, but that you have to pay from Zhuhai to Hong Kong. And this this one is kind of being built as a kind of really a final evidence of engagement. The first leap has been kind of made to a nearby island. Here you see the one of the planners holding up the plan. But what is extremely interesting is that they have not decided yet where the bridge will end, because it is impossible now to predict which city will be kind of more affluent and rich in 20 years, Shenzhen or Hong Kong, or which of the two will survive. So there is a kind of uncertain ending of this Potemkin corridor. If Shenzhen triumphs, it will end in Shenzhen, and if Hong Kong triumphs, it will end in Hong Kong. So this is kind of really the some of the kind of ingredients of our kind of research, where I've tried to, you know, revise or give some kind of indication how the urban condition is changing, how the architecture profession is changing, how planning is turning into a kind of process which is close to Photoshop, how infrastructure is becoming more a kind of prediction, and how landscape is kind of urbanized in a situation like that. So this is kind of really the what we've done in the project. We've taken a number of terms, we've copyrighted them, and we've kind of invented new definition for each of them that then we produce every year as a gift to the architectural community. They're copyrighted words that everybody can use, but where each of these terms is kind of redefined. And I already gave you some redefinition of Chinese suburbia, that is of course the kind of merger of landscape, and the Shenzhen speaks for itself, corruption also, Chineseness, etc., etc. To the architectural community, they're copied. So I'm not going to kind of bore you with kind of showing all these terms, but there is a number of terms that I want to kind of discuss, because I think they are the critical terms of the whole debate, and because I also think that they are important and useful for maybe aspects of the conference later. I think that the most critical ones is the one that is kind of indicated in this image, which I already showed, and which is maybe kind of much more stunning in this image, which is again Shenzhen, and where you see again these kind of three ingredients: the rough nature, the kind of agricultural fields, and in the distance, the city of that is only 10 years old. And we have called it the kind of city of exacerbated difference. And the issue there is where the traditional city strives for a condition of balance and a degree of homogeneity, the city of exacerbated difference, a city that exaggerates the difference, on the contrary, is the city that exploits the and pursues the greatest possible difference between its parts, whether they're complementary or competitive. In a climate of permanent strategic panic, or in a climate of city marketing, what counts for the city of exacerbated difference is not the methodical exploitation of the ideal, but the opportunistic, the methodical pursuit of the ideal, but the opportunistic exploitation of flukes, accidents, and imperfections. And this is interesting about this whole model. Though the model of the city of exacerbated difference appears brutal and to depend on the robustness of its components, it is actually kind of a delicate model, because what it means in terms of mutual dependency is that the slightest change in one of the components implies an adjustment in all of the other components. So in that sense, the sheer and through the very fact of this identities defined in terms of contrast to a number of other identities that are none of them stable, and that each of them are being pursued for strategic advantage, of course that strategic panic or that kind of intense city marketing has to dominate the entire condition. So that has kind of implications for the profession of urbanist is clear, because it creates a climate of overwhelming instability, where kind of thinking seems almost kind of luxury, or actually maybe less than a luxury and a handicap, and where the kind of idea is kind of to merge attractive features as seamlessly as possible, such as kind of this proposal, for instance, for somewhere in Asia, it could be anywhere, but where again the kind of the attempts have been to just merge Photoshop and make it new, make it happen, and it happens. Infrastructure, I already talked about infrastructure, which were mutually reinforcing and totalizing, are becoming more and more competitive and local. They no longer pretend to create functioning halls, but now spin off functional entities. Instead of network and organism, the new infrastructure creates enclave and impasse, no longer the grand récit, the big story, with the parasitic swerve. And this is when we deal with infrastructure. Here, I won't talk about it. And asymmetry, another reinvented word, which I think plays a big role, not in architecture, but maybe now in planning. All phenomena that restore, maintain, or intensify the inequalities that define the cities of exacerbated difference. And inequality, you know, we always thought that our the deepest core of our profession was about creating quality and spreading quality equally. I think there is now a condition where inequality becomes part of the repertoire, at least, and has to be assumed and theorized in terms of, you know, our own future, I think, whether we want it or not. Tabula rasa, I already spoke about. But maybe the most interesting and the most far-ranging of all the transformations between city and countryside is being undone in front of our very eyes, that the two are blurring, merging. Every time the mountain, the habitation, and the agriculture, but the agriculture changing. So here again, mountains in the distance, now watching directly confronting skyscrapers, and kind of finally, what we think this announces is a new concept, which is not called landscape, not called cityscape, but simply scape. And scape, we would define as kind of neither city nor landscape, is the new post-urban condition. It will, and what it means is that kind of basically everything which is not built, which is kind of residual, which is the two-dimensional medium that keeps everything together, that has conditions of landscape, condition of kind of public space, conditions of urban activity, such as the golf course, condition of publicness, such as the theme park, all combined in a kind of single seamless condition, which is now really the essence of the urban condition, much more than our traditional elements as streets and plazas. And I think it really is critical to theorize also that transformation. And then I want to end with this image, which we've called kind of the bastard metropolis. Wholeness, perfection, conceptual wholeness, perfection can only be achieved at the expense of editing, control. The bastard metropolis does not even aspire to such status. Its vitality is guaranteed by the systematic exploitation of its imperfections. And I think this image can be read on a number of ways. First of all, it's no coincidence that the first image that I showed is very similar to the last image that I'm showing, although the first one was, of course, in Paris, and the last one is in China. It shows that the phenomena are not contained to Asia, and that we're actually confronting the same phenomena in a real way. When I speak about consolation, it is an attempt to suggest that what one of the important things we should abandon is our despair. Our despair when confronted with La Défense, the first image, our instinct to reject it for aesthetic reasons, for historical reasons, for out of a kind of indignation for its mediocrity. I think that in this image, at least for me, the bastard metropolis begins to have some qualities, although they may not be the classical qualities of the urban condition. I think as we have defined them in terms of their coherence, I think that nevertheless the coexistence of so many elements, the presence of nature, landscape sections into the heart of the city, and the entire thing as a kind of incredibly energetic, inhabited, incredibly artificial rules and regulations to be inhabited with vision of Chinese suburbia, that is of course the kind of energy and conviction, is one of the constellations or one of the kind of control models that I think remains important when we think about the European city or when we think about the city as a whole. Thank you.